Matthew chapter number 14 this morning. I sure do appreciate the presence of the Lord in this place. Amen. I believe there's some help in the house of God for those that have come looking and desiring. The Lord is there. Amen. And I praise Him and I thank Him for it today. Matthew chapter 14, you're willing and able to stand this morning. Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse number 22. The Lord's been stirring this heart, this message in my heart for a few days now. We'll try to be obedient to preach what He's put upon us today. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. The Bible said, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him and the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You this morning for Your mercy and for Your grace. Thank You for the good songs of Zion and how they have ministered grace and help to our hearts today. Oh, Father, I pray this morning for just a few minutes, You touch these lips of clay, enable me how to preach what You put upon my heart. How for this service today, I'm glad, Lord, that You are present. I'm glad, Lord God, Lord, when the way gets dark and hard, You're still there. You're still able how to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask of faith. Lord, let us spend that just a little while with You today. And all You do, we'll praise You for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 23 this morning where the Bible says, and when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. I want to preach the Lord helping me just a few minutes on this subject of getting alone with God. Getting alone with God in the day we live in that is so fast paced and so much that is going on, so much that is biting for our time, desiring of our time and our thoughts, and getting our ears so much in these days. It is important as the people of God that we get alone with God. I'm glad when God saved us, it gave us access to the throne of God. We don't have to slip in or sneak in. You don't even have to crawl in. But by the blood we've been made worthy, and by that blood we have access to God Himself. Oh, friend, I was praying early today and the Holy Ghost reminded me about our Heavenly Father. He's not an idle God, but He's a true and living God that hears us when we pray, sees us in our times of trouble and good times. Oh, and His hand is outstretched to help us. I'm glad that we are serving such a God. Oh, the world has many gods, but they are false gods. Their God cannot help them, but our God can help us today. You see, it's been Him this morning that's a churning around in your heart. Amen. Hey, those songs we've been doing this morning, that's the kind that make you want to worship. It don't make you want to get up and dance. It makes you want to worship. Amen. It's the kind that gets a hold of your heart and your affection and your attention and began to look toward the God of heaven, knowing He is our only help and our only hope today. I thought about the scripture here, how it said getting alone with God, being able to spend some time with Him today. Oh, there's two things I'll look at and I'll be done this morning. First of all, there is our example in the text we read. Jesus puts His disciples in verse 22 in the ship and sends them to the other side. Then in verse 23, He sends the multitude away. And the Bible says, and when the evening was come, He was there alone. Our great example is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible said, Peter did, in the book of Peter, chapter number 2 and verse 21, he said, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Hey, Christ is our example. And we find over and over again that Jesus would get along with the Heavenly Father. I think about what the Bible says in Mark chapter 6 and verse 46, the same account of what Matthew's talking about. And it says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." John chapter 6 and verse 15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Hey, Christ understood, my friend, the importance of being alone with God. He did it over and over again in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. And listen to this. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed." Hey, Christ would even get up early before the S-U-N would get up and go spend time with his Heavenly Father. Luke chapter number 6, the Bible declares this in verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God." Hey, he had spent whole nights with God his Father. Hey, you know what? Instead of you rolling around, you can't sleep, you ought to take advantage of it and say, "Lord, it's just you and me right now. Phone ain't gonna ring. Nobody's a-talking. Nothing's going on in the house. But I'd like to pull up to you and us spend some time together, some quality time." Amen. Hey, friend, I promise you this. If Christ saw the importance of being alone with God, you and I need to learn that lesson. We need to pull aside from everything, from work, from trouble, from cares, from the family, from finances, from church, from everything, for just a little while, and pull up close to God and spend time with him. I tell you what bothers me about our day is folk are never alone. What do you mean, preacher? We've got all kinds of electronic devices that have captivated our time. And we spend more time with the electronic devices than we do the God that created everything. And we wonder sometimes why our life's in chaos. We wonder sometime why we have no peace and joy. I'd say it's because of the little time that we spend with God. Hey, Christ knew that importance while he walked on this earth in a fleshly body. I had to get alone early in the morning. I had to spend all night having fellowship with God. Somebody said, "I can't do all that." Oh, you can do what you want to. Amen. Hey, I'm going to preach to help us this morning. It may not be a red letter day from what you have perceived, but it'll be a good day if somebody will take this and apply it. Amen. You need to be alone more and more with God. Amen. Oh, there's time to do it. Morning hours or late at night, or slip away at work during the lunchtime and spend time with God for a while. You see, the example is Christ. But secondly, and I want to deal with this just a moment, there is the evidence of being alone with God. You see, it will do something. That will produce some things in your life and in my life if we will get along with God. You say, "Preacher, what?" Well, there's three people in the Bible, I don't look at as we look at the evidence of being alone with God, that got along with God and it made a difference in their life. Can I say to you that Jacob got along with God and it changed him? The Bible said in Genesis 32 and verse 24, "And Jacob was left alone." Hey, no family, nobody. Just hid them in the darkness. But then the Bible said there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Who was that, preacher? That was the Lord himself. When Jacob got alone, no distractions, God paid him a visit and began to wrestle him. And you know what? This getting along with God resulted in, Brother Hunter, there was a change took place in his life. What kind of change, preacher? Well, it changed his name. He told Jacob, you'll no more be Jacob, but Israel. Hey, somebody said, preacher, I want God to change me. Well, get along with him. Amen. As Jacob began to wrestle with him and hanging on to God, hey, God said, I'm going to call you Israel. How from this day on, hey, it changed his name. Hey, it changed his walk. God touched the hollow of his thigh and he halted on that leg the rest of his days. What happened? There's a change took place because he is alone with God. Hey, preacher, I'm battling some things. I need God to change some things in me. I've talked to this and I've read that book and I've watched that video and I've gone to church. Hey, won't you get along with God? Amen. You see, it ain't the crowd that's going to change you. It'll be the God of heaven that can change you. Hey, even as Christians, we struggle with stuff. Don't you get too holy and pious out yonder. Hey, friend, you just like me. There's stuff we struggle with on a daily basis. And the only way we'll ever get victory over it is if you and I get along with God and let him touch us and change us. Amen. Hey, Jacob, a friend getting along, it was evident. He came walking different. Amen. You know what? When Jacob got up with his family, everybody else, and he's a halting on that leg, dragging that leg around, he didn't have to have a T-shirt. Amen. He didn't buy a billboard and say, I've been touched by the Lord. He didn't say nothing. He just come. They said, oh, something done happened to Jacob. It's evident in his life. Hey, then they'll come and say, what happened to you? And then you can tell them what happened. Amen. Because if you just want to, somebody said, I'm going to tell them, hey, if you just be different, they'll come ask you what happened. Amen. Oh, Jacob said, boys, last night I was left alone, nobody else around, but God paid me a visit and we wrestled together and God touched me and God changed my life. Oh, friend, hey, there's evidence in getting along with God. Amen. Hey, what about another fellow by the name of Elijah? Over there in 1 Kings chapter 19, I thought about old Elijah for days. There in chapter 18, Elijah calls fire down on Mount Carmel, and then they kill all the prophets of Baal. Amen. And then old Jezebel goes running her mouth and a threatening Elijah. Now Elijah, I'm glad God put old Elijah in the Bible, everything about it he put. I really am. James said he's a man subject to like passions. Amen. Old Elijah knows what it is to get fed by the brook. That's right. He knows what it is to see God touch a widow woman's barrel. He knows that if, see, God resurrect a dead boy. He knows it is to pray and fire fall out of heaven. But he also knows what it is to get afraid. He knows what it is to run for his life. For Jezebel said, I'm going to make you one of these prophets. And the Bible said in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself, that's Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness. Hey, God alone. Matter of fact, in that verse, he goes to talking to God. Now you say, preacher, he didn't pray right. No, and I don't always pray right. And neither do you. Amen. Have you ever hit bottom? You're trying to serve God and nothing goes right. The hounds of hell are barking and a nipping at your heels. You been there? And you say, God, won't you just kill me? Oh, you're too spiritual, I forgot. Well, that's just what he said. God, just kill me. Lord, ain't nobody serving you no how. Just let me die. Boy, I'm glad God don't answer every prayer I pray. Aren't you? Some of you wouldn't be here either. Amen. Just be real good. I'll smile, nod your little heads. Amen. We're all flesh. That's right. Boy, it seems like the devil gets the fight in it and the world fights against us. Oh, but when Elijah got along with God, oh, hey, it changed in Elijah. Hey, he got some courage. Oh, yeah. While he's in that cave. Boy, God said, come out here, look out here, boy. And we see rocks are renting and earth are quaking and there's wind, there's fire. And he says, listen, Elijah, he said, the Lord's not in the fire and he's not in all the, but he's in a still, small voice. Oh, and Elijah talks with him. And by the time the chapter ends, he leaves the cave behind. He's got courage. Hey, Jezebel still threatened him. That ain't changed. But he's got courage and he goes and anoints a new king and goes, lays his mantle on Elisha and he keeps serving God until God takes him out in that whirlwind in 2 Kings 2. What happened? He got courage. I want to tell you something, in your Christian life, you're going to get very afraid sometimes. Amen. There are going to be things hit you that's going to feel like it's knocked the wind out of you. Hey, when you was a kid, did you ever get the wind knocked out of you? Fun. Go gasping for air. I felt like that spiritually a few times. Amen. I know it is to feel like my insides were melting because of fear. Amen. Oh, preacher, the Lord ain't give a spirit of fear. He ain't. But I'm in a fleshly body and you are too. And what takes care of that fear is us getting along with God. Hey, I wouldn't be preaching today after some things I've gone through. Are you hearing me? But the reason I still got courage and still preaching, I got along with him. Amen. Amen. And he gave me courage to just keep going. I courage to face another day. I courage to preach another message. Oh, friend, what we need is to get along with God. There's evidence, as it was in Jacob. There's a change. There's evidence in the life of Elijah. He had courage to keep going until God took him out. Hey, let me give you a New Testament fella. What about Brother Paul, just a minute? I thought about old Brother Paul in the last several days. Over there in Acts chapter number 27, old Paul's in a storm. Now listen to this. It's not Paul's fault that there's a storm. He's in a storm because of somebody else. That's right. Paul tells him before they leave, we better not go nowhere, boys. We're going to lose the ship. It's going to get bad. But the Bible says that centurion believed the master and owner of the ship instead of what Paul said. And the Bible said in verse 13 of Acts 27, when the south wind blew softly, suppose they obtained their purpose, loosened them, they sailed close but Crete. Hey, I'd imagine that crowd come by, Paul, you an idiot. You see, ought not say it. That's what they say to us all the time, the world does. They think we've lost our minds. Paul, look at us. We're sailing, it's good. But the Bible don't end there. It said, but not long after, verse 14, they arose against the tempestuous wind called Euroclodon. Hey, the storm hit. It ain't Paul's fault. Paul's been doing right. But because of somebody else, he's in a storm. Amen. And this storm gets bad. Listen, I don't have time to read all this. Y'all read it home. Acts 27 today, we find that days go by. Matter of fact, verse 19 said, and the third day, man, they ain't seen the sun, they ain't seen the stars or the moon. This storm is raging 3 days. And we find it ends up 14 days. And man, over and over again, hey, that boat's a rocking and the waves are dashing and the lightning's flashing and the thunder's rolling. Hey, they're in a storm, and it's not Paul's fault. What'd Paul do? Did he quit? Absolutely not. Paul wringing his hands? No. The Bible said in Acts 27 and beginning verse 21, but after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to gain this harm and loss. God, I like, God's got a sense of humor. He let Paul say, I told you so. Amen. Every now and then, he will let you do that. I know some don't believe it. He let Paul. Every now and then, God's let me do it. I told you that, didn't I? Amen. Have you ever done that to your children? I have. I like to let them know, you don't know as much you think you do. Amen. Oh, Paul said, hey, we could have missed all this. He didn't quit there. He said this, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Hey, boys, look up. Be of good cheer, for there should be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain out. Hey, Paul got along with God while everybody ain't eating, while everybody else is a screaming, while everybody's a bailing water and losing their mind. Paul's got along with God, and God goes to talking to Paul. What happened? There's evidence he's got comfort. They're batting their nails. They're crowd. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to die. Paul comes out, be of good cheer. Amen. Are you hearing me? Why? Paul got along with God. Hey, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. I can tell you what'll help you. If you'll do what I'm telling, get along with God. It don't mean the circumstance is going to change. Did you hear what I said? It don't mean the circumstance is going to change. There's more days in the storm after this. Hello. You think God's a genie in the bottle and you rub him, jumps out. Grant you, that ain't God. Some of this stuff's just gonna have to take its course. But you can have comfort while the storms are raging. It's all right. God done gave me a promise, boys. We're gonna make it. We ain't gonna die. Not a one of us gonna die. Amen. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. There's been times in my life things were going wrong. And matter of fact, even before it go wrong, hit praying about something, get along with God. And God give me a verse. Boy, I thought, thank God. And begin hanging. And then things go from bad to worse. You say, preacher, what happened to your verse? I hung on to it. God didn't give it by mistake. Are you hearing me? Held on, shall not the judge of the earth do right for over a year. Amen. Hanging on to it, knowing God does right. Amen. And let me tell you, on the other side of the storm, it still rings in my heart. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? I'm telling you today, you need to get along with God in the midst of the storm you're in. Hey, a lot of you are in a storm you didn't create. It ain't your fault. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to get a hold of God. Get along with God. And God will give you comfort how to weather the storm today. Oh, you see, you're in the best place you could be in today. Are you listening to me? Some folk, when the storm gets raging, they start laying out of church. That's crazy. Amen. Oh, they began to miss services. You better not do that. The sea will swallow you up. Matter of fact, even after Paul come out with comfort, some of them soldiers got the bright idea, we're getting the lifeboats out. Enough is enough. Let's get on the, he said, whoa, wait a minute, boys. Wait a minute. Except these abide with the ship. You leave the ship, you're a goner. Amen. Hey, matter of fact, storm's still raging. Paul comes up on them after a day. Boys, I've got groceries on the table downstairs. Get down there and eat. You fasted long enough. You wrung your hands off. Get down there. You're going to need some strength. We're about to be shipwrecked. We're about to wind up on the island. You need something to give you some strength to swim. Amen. Hey, there's something to getting along with God. Our generation knows very little about it, and that's sad. To be honest, and I'm not being mean, but it's sad to even say this, but I wonder if 20% of you, on a daily basis, really get along with God. Because a whole lot of you don't. A lot of you only pray when we come to church. A lot of you only pick your Bible up when we come to church. Some of you, the only time you read your Bible is when you're in church. I knew that'd make you quiet, and that's okay. Because that's the truth. We in this generation need to learn to get along with God like never before. We need Him more than we need anybody or anything. We need God. Hey, there's evidence of getting alone with God. Father, take the message, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to deliver what you gave me. Lord, you've stirred in my heart the value of being alone with God. Help now this invitation time, and everything you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach exactly what God told me to preach today. There is value in being alone with God. What I gave you this morning will help you in the storm. What I gave you will help you find direction for your life. What I've given you this morning will help you when nothing else will, because nothing else can. Is there someone here today? I've not really preached to lost folk, but I'm going to tell you this. If you're lost, you have nobody. You have nobody can help you in your storm. There's nobody to go to because you're not part of the family. You need to be born again. Maybe you know that today and God's touched your heart, you're lost without God. By lifting hands and preaching, that's me, I'm lost. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Anybody in the whole bit, amen. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost. I see that young hand. Preacher, I'm lost. Don't know the Lord. How many of you that are saved, I see the hand. How many of you that are saved today would say, preacher, I'm facing something today. I'm going through, amen, hands are going up everywhere. Could I encourage you to get along with God? Get along with God. He can help you. Now, I'm going to tell you again, it don't mean the circumstance is going to change and go away. You may stay in it a while. You may stay in the circumstance a while. There at the end of the week, God began stirring the thoughts in my heart of Acts 27, and it turned into this message. Child of God, what are you going to do? Are you going to continue to wring your hands? Going to live a life of confusion? No direction? Or will you get along with God and let Him help you? Let's stand today while we sing this altar's up. And I believe many of you need to get out of that pew, make your way toward an altar. You're in this morning, things are happening. You need to get along with God. That's your answer. That's your hope. It ain't a quick fix, but it's support. It's help in the midst of what you're going through. while we sing.